Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 286 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Cassandra.
Cassandra, we got to talk.
Okay.
Last week, we ended the episode, and we told everybody to moo you because of...
Moo in her general direction, really.
Moo, yeah, not at her, but in her general direction, because Michael and I thought that that would be hilarious. Because it just is. We like messing with our hosts out
Absolutely.
Of love. We were talking
it comes
about
from a good place.
Amazing, powerful women like the queen. You know, it just escalated quickly. But you weren't at Agua 301 or O'Sullivan's.
No, I was at Agua 301.
Oh, you were at Agua 301. I'm sorry. You weren't at O'Sullivan's.
No, I was not at O'Sullivan's on Wednesday. So sorry to that host.
So those of you listening at O'Sullivan's, get her this week.
Yeah, I feel like you're owed. You owe that to your players, your little trivia babies. It's just like, you know, the sweet revenge like I did with my cousin where she lied to me about Candyland being a thing on the phone and I taught her kid how to make it rain.
Wait, Candyland on a phone?
Yeah, she had a fake phone and anytime we would talk to the prince in Candyland and anytime I picked it up, the prince would be gone. And then, you know, flash forward 15 years later, she's a kid. I taught her kid how to make it rain. I think that that's all is fair. So now we're just paying it forward since you skipped out on all your players.
I'm looking forward to like when my friend's kids get a little bit older, I'm going to start buying them stuff like drum sets.
Oh, jeez.
Vuvuzelas.
Vuvuzelas.
I remember, so I did band for a couple years in middle school, and I remember it was a terrible, terrible negotiation with my parents, but I played flute, and I was like, I wasn't really loving it, but I really wanted to do percussion.
Okay.
And so the negotiation tactic that I went in with was, I'll still be in band if you let me do percussion, and they were like, you're not going to be in band. I was like, okay.
That's, I mean, I guess that's fair.
I was also in band in middle school. I played trumpet.
Ah.
But at that same time, my dad was working nights.
Mm.
So there was not a lot of practicing happening just because, like,
yeah.
Well, dad's asleep upstairs because it's 3 p.m. and yeah. He has to work tonight. And yeah.
I played a lot of instruments in middle school band, but I was terrible at all of them.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't good at flute.
It was not a good, I'm sorry. To everyone that had to listen to any of that. Okay, but anyway, I want to kick off because I've been letting you go first. And Cassandra, you've been crushing it 2 for 2 with things in a row. So will you make it 3 for 3?
I don't know.
Done, done, done. So about a month ago, mid-July, Twitter went through and eliminated locked user accounts from public follower accounts. So it basically just did a big purge of follower numbers for a lot of like big companies, big celebrities, etc. And so a lot of people saw their follower count drop, obviously. So which company had the highest loss in followers following Twitter's purge?
I have an answer that I think is just funny more than anything else.
Uh-huh.
I think Twitter lost the most followers.
Okay. Why? Mm.
I just think it would be kind of funny if like Twitter's like, we're going to get rid of all these accounts. And then they lose the most followers. That is just ironically funny to me.
That is funny. A company Twitter page.
Yeah.
And I actually have a secondary guess, but that might steer a little bit closer to politics.
I'm going to go with Wendy's.
Wendy's? Oh, Wendy's does have a lot of followers. They're sassy.
They're
and I like
Wendy's crushes Twitter. I love it.
Yeah. Denny's is also a really good Twitter to follow.
I love it when brands talk to each other in their brand voice. Like Moon Pie does that a lot, and it's
oh, yeah.
fantastic. Okay.
I remember when...
So you said Wendy's? Oh, sorry.
I remember when the Chargers were moving to LA, big Chargers fan, and they put out kind of a temporary logo that was... It was a blue background with LA, and then, like, the end of the A was a lightning bolt.
Okay.
And I think it was, like, the Tampa Bay Lightning messaged the Dodgers, and it was just like... we have something to tell you or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that vaguely. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It was just and basically. And then I think they responded like, you said you'd call. They went back and forth. And I was just like, oh, this is so bad for the Chargers.
Yeah.
One of you is correct. And it's Michael.
Hey.
Ah.
Yeah. Great guess with Wendy's. But Twitter lost about 7 million followers. With that purge. So on July 5th, they were about 62, 63 million. July 19th, They were at 55 mil. So they lost 12% of their followers from the purge.
Wow.
Any other guesses as to the top three? The other number two and number three. Any other guesses? Dun, dun, dun.
Facebook?
Facebook is number 11. They lost about 500,000.
Does Facebook have a Twitter?
They do. And they have 14.
Like weirdly meta.
They have 13.4 million as of a month ago, but they were at 14 mil prior to the purge.
I'm just going to keep riding this train. Instagram.
Instagram's number three. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Number three, 1.4 million followers lost. So they lost 4% of their total follower count.
I guess Google.
Google is in the top 12. They're number 12. They lost about 500,000 as well. Only 2% of their followers, but they have about 20 mil, which is a lot. This is organized by total followers lost, not percentage or total followers. So it's followers lost.
Okay.
And it wasn't even close.
Is number two another social media?
Yes.
Snapchat?
Sorry, not social media, but it is big.
Biggest. Is it Snapchat?
No. It's not really social media, but it is a tech website that I would imagine I know that you and I have spent hours on every day at lunch.
Oh, Netflix.
Nope. YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
YouTube. Yeah, YouTube lost 1.9 million followers, which I think is just absolutely nuts that the other sites have it on this platform. Like, what is Facebook tweeting about? I don't understand. And also, hey, I work for Facebook, but I run our Twitter account.
Yeah. That's what, it's so weird.
It's just kind of ironic, I guess. But you want other people at your platform, I guess. And then they also went through the 10 most followed accounts. So Katy Perry lost like a lot of followers. The Biebs, Obama lost some. Trump obviously did. Lady Gaga lost 3% of her followers. It's a lot. A lot. So anyway, that was my fact.
Cool.
I don't even know how many followers I lost because I'm not really on Twitter all that much.
Well, it's just for a public accounts.
Oh,
so
that makes sense.
Sorry.
But I just knew like in my following account, there was definitely a couple bots in there.
Yeah, got
liking, it. Liking posts from like 4 years ago.
Hashtag porn. Get those followers counts up, you know? Okay, anyway, Michael.
Don't know what happened there.
Michael, your turn.
Okay. So, other than the North and South Pole.
Other than the North and South Pole. Okay, heard of them.
What is the only place on Earth without rats?
Certainly not DC.
It is certainly not DC.
Yeah. Okay. Without rats.
I'm assuming
native rats.
Well, I don't know. They have a certain rat control. It is a territory. It is its own kind of encapsulated
thing, place. Right. The ocean.
It's not the ocean.
I would like to
landmass. We're looking for the landmass.
The Pacific Ocean.
No,
oh gosh,
they
could you imagine water rats? Oh my gosh.
They exist.
Rats
don't
that
they?
Swim.
Yeah. Do rats that swim? Are we talking about like muskrats?
Well, I mean, you get rats that stow away on ships and stuff like that. I mean,
I guess. Is that their mailing address? P. Sherman.
What are you mailing to rats?
Cheese. No, I don't know why. And I was like, P. Sherman, Wallaby Way, Sydney. That's where I immediately went with an address for the ocean, which I understand is not Pacific. Anyway, okay. Focusing. Rats.
Rats.
Antarctica.
Of a normal
Pole.
Size, not of an unusual size.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Chupacabra.
That was a Princess Bride reference for anybody that missed that.
I ignored it. You know how I feel about the Princess Bride. It's one of my great faults.
Guess. Oh, why am I blanking on the name of the like ice desert that's in Russia?
An ice desert?
It's technically a desert, but it's cold. Is that the Gobi?
It's not the Gobi.
Okay.
That's a good guess, though.
That's a good guess, yeah.
Rats can't be frozen.
It's been rat-free for 65 years, if that helps at all.
It's been rat-free for
and this is,
65
this is
years.
A man-made rat-free zone. This is not like a weather thing or something like that.
A man-made rat-free zone.
This is a community that is going, no rats here. They have a rat control squad, I guess. I don't know what the team... let's see. They just had it here. The Provincial Rat Patrol. It's a province in Canada.
Oh, Saskatchewan.
Not Saskatchewan.
Toronto. No.
Nova
Toronto's
Scotia?
A city.
Nope.
Prince Edward's Island.
No.
Vancouver.
Nope.
Why would it wouldn't be a city? It wouldn't be. There's no way it'd be a city. Like, there obviously are rats in the city.
Their key weapon is the Rat Patrol, a team of 8 pest control officers armed with shotguns, tasked with inspecting the control zone and spreading 10 tons of poison annually.
Is shooting rats the most effective way to kill rats?
I think to kill one rat.
Right.
Well, I guess if you have a shotgun, that's multiple rats. I don't know. Wait, okay, just tell us.
It's Alberta.
Alberta?
Alberta, Canada.
What?
It's...
They only have 8 people for the entirety of Alberta?
That walk the border in the control zone and stuff like that.
So it's a specific section of Alberta.
As I understand, it's all of Alberta. I'm reading through this. This is off a news article from the Globe and Mail. And it gets into kind of into how they prevent rats in Alberta. They haven't had rats in Alberta since...
Rats that they know about. They have an underground society. They're just waiting for their moment.
It says, this is a direct quote, Alberta has been rat-free, excepting the odd straggler, for the past 65 years. It's the only jurisdiction in the world to have fought rats and won. Though the colonies continue to thrive just outside the provincial border.
So they literally have border patrol for rats.
That's exactly what they have in Alberta. It's a very, very interesting article.
They've secured their border against rats.
That seems very ruthless for Canadians, from what I know of my Canadian friends. I feel like they'd be like, oh, come, you're welcome here.
Albertans have a take-no-prisoners attitude toward rats. For decades, the province ran advertising telling residents to fear rats and kill them on sight. There are heavily inspected rat control zones along the Saskatchewan border, and pet rats are banned throughout the province.
Huh. There has to be rats there. There has to be. There's just no way they can. What if you have them in your trunk? Like, is that a big black market for rats?
I believe that's the odd straggler that they mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay. That's.
Could you imagine an entire what I'm picturing is like you go to Alberta and you're right, everybody's friendly and stuff like that. Rats.
Right.
It's like there's this hidden hatred of just rats.
That's their one thing.
It's their one thing.
They get irrationally angry about is rats. I mean, rats are pretty terrible.
Right.
And I wish there were less of them everywhere. But to have that hostility.
Well, I mean, there's also a thing. They basically don't know how much money this has saved either. Because you're not losing anything to...
Bubonic plague
to household pipes and wires that rats will chew through.
Not in Alberta.
To stores and grains on farms. I'm losing you guys. I can tell already.
So not in Alberta. All right, cool, Michael. Your fact was great.
Thank you. The decider
of facts supports you.
It is decided.
It has been decided, yes. Cassandra, I would like to hear your fact now, please.
Yeah. So I think you mentioned a few podcasts ago you wanted more money questions. So I have another money question.
Yeah, money,
for
money, money.
So when?
Gosh, I'm going to get sued.
When?
We don't know either podcast. Take note of liability.
When did the dollar become the official currency of the U.S.?
When did the dollar become the official currency of the U.S.? I often repeat the questions because then it allows me to stall as I inevitably think through a terrible guess that will be wrong. So, Michael, what do you think? What do you know about U.S. currency?
I know it's green.
True. That's true. What I would like to know...
I know I also don't carry a lot of paper currency these days anymore.
Was the first dollar have Washington on it? That would be helpful. Or do you not know? Like, I don't know. Let's say I got a first edition print of the official dollar, which is in relation to your fact, now an official currency. If it had George Washington, that would give us a timeline or give us a sense of a time.
So, no, because the first U.S. currency was not paper.
Well, yeah.
It was still coins.
Yes, I know. Sorry. Yes.
Okay.
I knew that. What I'm saying is the dollar bill has Washington on it. Was there a version of the dollar bill prior to Washington that I'm trying to deduce the timeline?
So it's early.
It's early. Okay. Okay.
Maybe I'm not understanding the question, but
maybe, because I'm thinking if you're saying in the official capacity that this was Congress passed a law that said this is now the currency,
yes.
I'm trying to think of like, yeah. Okay. So 1776 doesn't make sense because Congress didn't exist yet.
Correct.
So I'm going to say 1793.
Ooh, close.
Yeah, post ratification.
1794.
Oh, get out of here.
Close the other way. It's 1792.
Oh, okay. Dang it. 1792. Oh, I knew it was right around that time the Constitution was ratified, which would make sense.
Yeah. And I'm surprised that this didn't come up in Hamilton either.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, was it about the same time as the establishment of the National Bank?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was when the Treasury and Mint was founded, and then they're like, well, we got to have a currency to go along with this. And so that's when the dollar was officially made the U.S. currency.
Cool. Dollar, dollar bills, y'all. Which is also your secret phrase. Dollar, dollar bills, y'all. I'll repeat it again. Dollar, dollar bills, y'all. It's up to you if you spell it with a Z or an S. We'll accept either.
Does it have to be dollar or can it be dollar?
Either or. You can even write the dollar sign.
There you go.
You know, it's really dealer's choice as long as there's some semblance of that in your answer sheet.
Is y'all part of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That definitely has to be part of it.
Just check.
Yes. So we said it. I keep repeating the phrase because everyone keeps asking me if we have it. Anything else, Cassandra, in relation to your fact?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Cool. I just want to make sure before I move on to the next topic.
I have nothing more to say on the matter.
Okay. In our last few minutes, I have one more bonus thing topic to talk about, and I'm really excited about it. So you guys know The Ringer? You should if you...
The Ringer?
The
like
Ringer.
The movie?
No, it's a website and articles, sports stuff. Yeah, they're awesome and fantastic and highly recommend reading a lot of their things. Anyway, so they asked their entire staff, not for the best TV shows, but the best individual episodes of television since the year 2000. So far in the 21st century, the best episodes of
since
television...
Since 2011?
Since 2000.
Oh,
so from 2000 to 2018, where we are now, the best episodes of the century, they're calling it. They asked their entire staff and then they whittled it down. They said that they had many debates, et cetera, et cetera. So my question is, what show had the number one overall episode of TV as determined by the Ringer staff? I have the top 20 here, so you guys can discuss and guess away your favorite episodes of television. But these are all across all genres.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Is it, you know, is it a sports show or... But
yeah, so it's across all episodes of all shows. And it was, and they did focus a lot about, like, historical. I use that loosely because obviously it's still kind of relevant modern history. But relevance for TV's trajectory from then to now. So there are some factors in, like, okay, this might not be a great show to rewatch, but it's significant.
I mean, you gotta hit the highlights, I think, off the top of my head. So off the top of my head, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is number 10. I can't read my handwriting as to what the specific episode was, so sorry.
The Wire?
The Wire has number 6 overall.
Okay.
Wire's number 6.
This is just the fanboy in me.
Yeah.
West Wing.
West Wing is on the list, and they are at number 12, the Two Cathedrals episode.
Oh, Two Cathedrals is so good.
Yeah,
where he
that's
has,
number 12,
where he has the back and forth. It's not even back and forth, just the monologue where he kicks back and forth from Latin to English.
I haven't seen it, but I believe you.
So good.
there was a...
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is number 3.
All right,
third overall.
There.
Any ideas to what episode?
The one where he says, I drink and I know things.
I do have a...
Was
it
the season 1 finale?
No, but a good guess. That's mentioned in the summary of a
Red
possibility.
Wedding.
It is the Red Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Reign of Castamere is the official episode title. And they described of how that just changed the course of TV because it was just so mind-blowing. And everyone who read the books were filming their friend's reaction to that huge, crazy event.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
One of my favorite things about Game of Thrones is how do you know if somebody's read the books while you're watching the show? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yes. I didn't. I watched bits and pieces of the show and had read up till like book 4, I think. And so it was great having kind of been off of it, but hearing people do the recaps.
I remember watching it with my roommate at the time and we were just like, did they just kill an entire plot line?
Was my reaction. I haven't read the books, but I've watched all 7 seasons, and I recently did a rewatch, and it still gets me. Like, the Red Wedding still gets me. That it's like, I know it's coming, and I'm still just like, ah.
Okay. Yeah, but that's number 3.
That's the highest we've gotten so far. Right?
The Lannisters, send their...
Lannisters send their regards.
Yeah. And that's in that episode. So they were like, oh, you gotta have a good catchphrase. Number 2 and number 1.
I'm gonna guess Mad Men.
Mad Men's number 2, specifically the suitcase episode.
So, I don't recall that one.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what they said in the suitcase episode. And number 1.
Number 1.
I would be shocked if you guys got it. Not saying you couldn't, but I would be shocked because this was not in something that I would immediately think of, but significance wise, last 18 years, okay, I get it.
Comedy or drama?
Drama.
Okay.
Mystery.
It's not Sherlock, is it?
No. Sherlock was in the top 100, though. I definitely saw them on the list. Mystery.
Mystery.
Some often say an unsatisfying ending.
The Sopranos? No.
Sopranos is on the list.
Oh, I got it.
What?
It's Lost.
It is Lost. The Constant. The Ringer staff declared the best TV episode since 2000. Any others that you guys want to throw out before I go through this list? So you guys did really well.
So if they're capping it at 2000, it cuts out, I think, all of Sports Night, which is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, Sports Night stopped, I think, in 98.
Yeah, and The Six Southern Gentlemen of Tennessee, that episode.
That is a great episode.
One of my all-time favorite episodes of television ever.
It's
so good.
You're an Aaron Sorkin nerd also?
Yeah, mostly just that, though. Like, okay. I've watched The West Wing, and it's fine.
Did you ever watch Studio 60? Which I think should be on this list, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, I like Studio 60, and I love Sports Night, but I tried to watch The Newsroom, and I got, 10 minutes in, and I was like, okay, Sorkin, I don't need to be lectured while I'm watching television.
Same.
Like, too preachy.
Those first 8 minutes, though, are great television.
That's what turned me off of the whole show.
Really?
I was like, oh, gosh.
Oh, I came out of that. I was like, I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
We're different
people. I just have a problem with, the revisionist history part of it, too, that I'm just like, these things didn't happen.
Right.
I do really love...
It would have been nice if they did, but they didn't.
We'll put this in the link dump. There was a great... Amy Schumer did a Sorkin spoof at a fast food restaurant.
Oh, yes. With Josh Charles.
Yes. So we will put that in the link dump. You have to check it out. Very briefly, as we wrap up, I'm going to hit some of the highlights here. So your top 20. 20 was Black Mirror. I'm just saying the show name, not the specific episode. 19th was Justified. 18th was Friday Night Lights, the pilot. Number 17, Oprah. Which Oprah episode is it?
Everybody Gets a Car.
No, that was before 2000, I believe.
Oh, was it the Tom Cruise episode?
It's the Tom Cruise episode, yep. Okay. They have a favorite, or most memorable moments. It's just the couch. Number 16 is one of my favorite episodes of television ever in the history of time.
The Office?
It is from The Office. The Dinner Party.
Oh my gosh. That was so terrible. Good, but terrible.
We'll also put a link dump into this. I believe Rolling Stone did an oral history with the cast of the making of that episode. We will definitely put that in the link dump. Number 15 was Atlanta. 14th was The Jersey Shore. Which,
gross.
Yeah, but it was significant, I think. 13, Jinx. 12, West Wing. 11 was Grey's Anatomy, Losing My Religion with the Katherine Heigl and the Denny scene. It was breaking at the time for me. Number 10 is Breaking Bad. Number 9, The OC pilot.
As somebody that's from Orange County, boo.
Fun fact, I have never seen 1 minute of The OC.
It's awful.
It was a big thing back
so
in the
bad.
Day. Number 8 was The Sopranos, like we mentioned. Number 7, the only real one from reality TV beside The Jersey Shore.
Survivor?
Survivor, yeah. The final 4 where Richard ended up winning the first one for The Mill. And they have a whole big, the speech at the end where and 51 million people tuned into that episode. 51 million people. Number 6 is The Wire, like we said. Number 5 from The Chappelle Show. Number 4 was True Detective, and then we had 3 Game of Thrones, 2 Mad Men, and 1 was Lost. So thank you to The Ringer for giving us excellent podcast topics today.
That's a hell of a list. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I want to go back and watch each of these individual episodes.
2 Cathedrals, yeah.
Yeah.
So good. I'm going to go watch that tonight. I love that episode so much.
You're hyped.
I will talk for another half hour.
All right, well, then we got to get going. We already have done the secret phrase that was earlier in the episode. Cassandra, thank you so much for coming in. Please come back again. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Cassandra.
We don't know either.
Bye.